right. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, this name of this song is I Want to Die on the Battlefield. One day as I was thinking on unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Listen to this. We can all agree with this verse here. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me. But since I've been converted, they turned their backs on me. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus. Yeah. He satisfies my soul. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, I know you can help me, and I'll tell it wherever I go. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. That's why I tell you, you always got to have a real good concordance, because you can't count on the one in the back of your Bible. But somewhere over there in the New Testament, Paul said, I would rather speak a few words. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. I'd rather speak a few words and you have a full understanding of what I'm saying than to have a whole lot to say and you not understand what I'm saying. Those few things a preacher really wants to do, I think Brother James would agree with me on this, he wants to, first of all, preach the message God wants preached. That's got to be made plain. And he wants to preach the right message to the right people at the right time. And he wants his message to be not only timely, but to be long enough. And I think sometimes us independent, fundamental, fried chicken eating, temperamental King James only Baptist thinks that if you don't preach for 45 minutes or an hour, you must be back to lean on God. That's not the case. I'd rather speak a little few words. You get something to help you. You leave here today refreshed and revived. And for me to get up here and beat the hour for an hour and a half, and you leave here and say, what was he saying? Now, I was in church before, and I said, what was exactly he saying? But I left sometimes, and I said, boy, we have heard from God today. I told my wife Friday night, we left the church up there in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I said, we have heard from God tonight. I'll tell you what, that little preacher, he got up. You know, you look at some preacher and you say, boy, he ain't nothing. Him, you know what I mean? He looked all educated and everything. Man, he got to preaching. And he lost all his dignity in just a little while. Amen. It's like going to the choir section of church. You can probably see 3,000 or 4,000 people. It's like going into a great arena. Beautiful facility. When I went up there the first time at Pastor's College, when I went up there the first time, I almost didn't get out of the car. I told my wife, I said, I'm out of my league up here. She said, amen, out there walking. you out there and you are a preacher, you're God's man, you know. And I'm glad she encouraged me. She encouraged me. And I'm glad I got out. But anyway, we got there, we went to church with them on Wednesday night. That's part of what we're doing, Pastor's Talk Week. And man, they both got the hoot and holler and shouting and amen and stuff like that. Such and said, you boys didn't think we'd done this in the big church, did you? And I'm glad, amen. There's something wrong to start over. Singing, you need to get that on the CD. You got that on the CD, but now it ain't working. Oh, okay. That's all right. I'll take care of that in a minute. That'll all get better in a minute. Amen. I want you to enjoy yourself today, but I want us to get something out of God's Word to help us a little bit, all right? We look at Mark chapter 4 this morning. I want us to look down at verse number 35. If you're a student of the Bible, you say, oh, man, he's preached this thought to death. Some things you can't preach them enough. Amen. Amen. It's a help us this morning if we'll get another fresh glimpse of this. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I never have understood that. How a boat be full still float. Amen. Now, y'all might get that. You might be a lot smarter than I am, but I'll take the Bible literally what it says it is. Amen. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillar, and there woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to look for just a minute, if you will, in verse number 38 with me. And he was in the hinder, speaking of Christ now, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I want to preach this morning. If God will give me help today, and I believe he is. I feel a little preaching coming on. Does Jesus really care? Does Jesus really care? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. Oh my, thank you, Lord, for letting us feel the wind of our country, a little breeze this morning. Dear God, I thank you we hear the rustling of the mulberry trees. Dear God, let somebody today get victory out of this thought you give me today. What you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. And God is good all the time and all the time. That's good. Yeah, y'all know better. Amen. I'm going to learn to shout a little bit. This is going to be the quietest world you'll ever know. You know what? When we get to heaven, folks are going to be shouting in the carriage. I know some Baptists are going to be mighty uncomfortable in heaven. I reckon. Because I'll tell you what, they get uncomfortable around this country. I don't get uncomfortable. I love it when God shows up. Amen. They said, don't you care. That's what they said to Jesus. Don't you care. You ever said that to somebody? Don't you care. You probably have. What a thing to say to the Savior of the world. Have to remind myself that these fellows are early on in the following of Christ. They've been with him in some preaching meetings, and they've seen him heal some folk. But now it's getting personal. They're in real danger, honey. You see, when you're walking along and you're in the revival meeting and everything's fine, or you're in church service and everything's fine, and you're reading your Bible and everything's fine, and you're singing in the choir and everything's fine, and you're being faithful to the church and everything's fine, and you're putting your tithe and you're giving the children your mission money and everything's fine, that's one thing. When the devil begins to attack, you find yourself in real danger. All of a sudden, things change. You know, when you see somebody now that loses their job, you say, boy, I sure do feel sorry. You see someone's house get foreclosed on, you say, boy, I sure do feel sorry. You see somebody's home get, somebody's car get repossessed, I sure do feel sorry for them. You see someone's loved one die, you say, boy, I sure do feel sorry. But you know, when it comes to your house,
right.
You say, I wonder if anybody feels sorry for me. Does anybody care? I mean, does anybody really care? If you're not careful, you'll find yourself just like these disciples. The ones that were so close to Christ, the ones that could reach out and touch him at any time, the He wants to sit down and eat with him three times a day. The ones that heard every word that come out of his mouth. The ones that had that personal, intimate time with him. They even said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They said, "Look, we're dying. And don't you care?" Now, it's interesting that two other Gospels give this account. They say, "Lord, please can you help us a little bit here?" Or something along those effects. They kind of tangled it a little bit. Mark reports it, just as such it is, I believe, they awake him. Somebody tangled it a little bit, but Mark reported it as, "Carest thou not that we perish?" I believe that's probably what most of them say.
Right.
By the way, you have a tendency to tell it a little bit different if it's going to be to your benefit than just telling it straight like it is sometimes. Now, I know y'all are not like that. I was raised up in Orange Grove. That's the way we do it at Orange Grove. My brother has this philosophy, it's all right to tell little lies as long as it keeps somebody's feelings getting hurt, especially with your feelings. Some of y'all got it, some of you didn't get it, some of you don't care whether you got it or not. And some of you, Brian, will get that going down the road tomorrow, amen? I wonder if you've ever thought, "Jesus, do you really care?" Or you may be too spiritual for such a thing as that. Maybe you'd say, "Lord, please help us. We're about to walk. We're about to lose our home. Please help us. Our children are all gone crazy. Would you please help us?" I think most everybody here right now has had, or maybe you're having a moment, when maybe not out loud, but maybe you thought, as the devil come along and knocked on your door in the middle of the night, as the devil rode to church with you this morning, as the devil will ride to church with you tomorrow, or ride to work with you in the morning, and you get to thinking about all those beagles, you get to thinking about your youngins that ain't doing right, your grandyoungins that don't stand a Chinaman's chance, as old folk used to say, of making it unless somebody steps in and intervenes in their life.
Amen.
You get to thinking about all the economy and everything like it is. You say, "Well, preacher, don't you understand gas is almost $4 a gallon?" I know gas is almost $4 a gallon. Guess what? God knew gas is going to be almost $4 a gallon. Nothing takes God by surprise.
Amen.
God knew you was going to be in the fix you're in. God knew you was going to get the devastating news you got. God knew you was going to get that phone call. God knew you was going to try to be, somebody's going to try to draw you into something you didn't have a bit. God knew that before it ever happened. Don't you realize nothing ever just takes God by surprise? I tell people things sometimes and they say, "Well, I never thought I'd hear that." And sometimes people say, "Well, that don't surprise me at all."
Right.
But people that say, "Well, that don't surprise me at all," have a little bit deeper insight. They have a little more discernment than those people that say, "Well, I've never seen that coming." And I got to admit to you, as a pastor, over the last almost 15 years, there have been plenty of things that I said, "I've never seen that coming." I talked to a preacher friend of mine the other day. He was telling me about somebody in his church who just done slept, done gone crazy, lost their mind, done fell out of church, done everything you can't imagine in your wildest dreams they would have done. He said, "I've been fooled a lot of times." He said, "But that one there really fooled me." He said, "I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times that are going to come in your life. And there's going to be times in your deepest, darkest hour of night. And I oftentimes pray this in a funeral morning, at night tonight. And all the friends have gone away. And all the family's gone home. All the leftovers are put away. And the funeral service is over. And the funeral director's come and got all of his equipment out of the house in the darkness of the hour." That's when the old devil comes around. Boy, you know, I need to preach right there. Man. Some of y'all ain't never experienced that. But I'm going to tell you, a dark time's going to come in your life. Hey, there's been times I left this church on a Sunday morning, and it's been so dark, I just felt crushed, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And old devil come along, and he'd tell me how I wasted my life, and he'd tell me how ignorant I was, and how I probably wasn't even saved to begin with. Brother James, old devil ever told you that when you got done preaching, you probably ain't even saved to begin with. And I heard all that mess, and I'd get down, Lord, help me, I need some help. But really what my heart was crying out in agony was, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" They say, "I have never said that. I've never." That's blasphemous almost. Oh, yeah. But you know what? God knows what we're made of.
Right.
Can you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you say, "Well, I just don't believe all that. I just don't believe somebody that be close to God can say such a thing." All right. Can I tell you somebody that actually is God? Said that
been beat, bloody beyond all recognition.
One of the last things he said at the cross of Calvary was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was talking to his old father. You say, what was he really saying? He said, "God, don't you care? Daddy, don't you care? Daddy, don't you care? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You ever felt forsaken? Being feeling forsaken is an awful thing, isn't it? It really is. Being forsaken is a terrible thing. You feel like you're all alone and nobody's ever had it like you've had it and nobody's ever experienced what you're going through. I looked at what some of the commentators said about that one person. In that one sentence, "Carest thou not that we perish?" It says unbelief and fear made them sadly forget their place. Isn't that where we get sometimes? Amen. Sadness and fear will make us forget our place. And it says, when those accustomed to fish, they fished upon those deep waters. When they spake out, danger must have been imminent. They've been on the lake in storm before. They've been there when times were hard. They've been there when the weather changed dramatically. Not like this. Never like this right here. The ship, that little ship full of water. Amen. I mean, they're in trouble, friend. They said, "We got to do something. We got to do it quick." Hey, you know one of the commentators said, if Christ could not perish, is it likely that he would let them happen? He let them perish even though he lived on? They were actually in such distress that they were speaking outside of their minds. They were so gripped with fear that they spoke without thinking. I know none of y'all ever spoke without thinking. Sometimes we'll say something we shouldn't. It's when you say, "I shouldn't have ever said that." You have a little wisdom when you realize you shouldn't have said it. You go back and tell that person you're sorry you shouldn't have said it. Sometimes we say it anyway. Amen. And then what most ignorant is that is when a husband will say something to his wife he shouldn't have said, and he didn't mean it, and he said, "Well, she knows I didn't really mean it." Well, go tell her you didn't really mean it. Dummy. Amen. So if you ever thought it or uttered it, you ain't in bad company. I want to try to help you just a little while today and tell you the times and ways that he does care for us. Because he does care for us. Amen. I'm glad he cares. He cared enough to lead to all the best of heaven. He left his home, place of beauty, peace, joy, rest, of nothing, evil. He left all that to come to us. You know why? Because he cares. He cares. They sang the song a while ago that I heard a voice sing, "Father, I'll go." And you know, we sing that song, and I think it's a wonderful song. It's a song, and it is still the blood. But Jesus didn't have to remind the Father that he'd go, because God the Father knew from the beginning of time that one day God the Son would have to go. Amen. We see these things, and we say, "Boy, I bet God ain't surprised by nothing." God knew the wickedness that would come in man's heart. God knew the wickedness would come in Noah's day. God knew the wickedness would be in our day, in a day and a time when so many wicked things are happening all around us. Even we turn the news on, we pick up the newspaper. It's almost a pornographic abomination to read what's going on in America today. He cared enough to face the devil and hell head on. And he didn't have to. He chose to. Some empty-minded theologians say, "Well, when Christ knelt down in the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweated, as it were, drops of blood, he said, 'Father,' he said, 'take this cup from me.'" He's trying to back out. That's what them empty-headed theologians say. They say he's trying to back out at the last minute. No, he wasn't trying to back out of the beating. He wasn't trying to back out of the punishment. He wasn't trying to back out of the crucifixion. He knew from the beginning of time he'd be a sacrifice, the perfect, spotless lamb. But what it bothered him so was there's going to be a time when daddy ain't going to be looking. There's going to be a time when, there for just a short period of time, we're going to have to break fellowship, because somebody as big as God can't fellowship with sin. Amen. That's what he wanted. Father, if it's you can just take that one thing away from him. But God and the Father had to lead us that way, because God never puts his stamp of approval on sin.
Amen.
Amen. Some people say God made it go dark so God wouldn't have to see it. You think the dark keeps God from seeing?
Amen. Right.
I mean, how empty-headed can you be? Use your mind, friend. God the Father loved because they was just so far away from God, they was almost, they okay. There's going, you say, well, that never happened to me. Well, it might happen to you. Do you know anybody it's happened to? Do you know anybody that's had to literally tell their children, you're no longer welcome in my home? It happens. You know what? What makes that happen? Sin? Nobody ever told a dummy that was living right, doing right, and trying to live right and trying to be the right kind of person. No parent ever told that child, I don't want you ever to see you in my house again. Don't want you here. Every time you come, things take missing. Every time you come here, there's an argument. Every time you come, there's a fight. There's a brawl. We end up having to call the law. You're not welcome here. I'm going to call the sheriff's department and have you arrested if you come back again. Nobody ever told that to a young man that was working a job, living for God, trying to do right. Amen. Y'all know I'm right. And you might sit there and say, well, I'd never do that. You might have to one day. You don't know what a day is going to bring. You never know what's going to happen. You say, well, yeah, I know people had to break fellowship with their own youngins, but I can't see how they have to do that. Well, God the Father gave us illustration in His Word, didn't He?
Right.
Come a time when God the Father had to literally break fellowship with His Son. Boy, this thing's preaching a lot better than I thought it would this morning, honey. I believe God's in this thing this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad He cares, amen? I'm glad He cares. He faced the devil, and He faced hell because He chose to. He wasn't forced to. God the Father wasn't behind and pushed him like you push somebody into a fight. No, He walked head on into it. He cared enough. Let me hit on this real quick. He cared enough to go to an old rugged cross called Calvary. He took all the heavy punishment that we should have taken. He took the nails. He took the beatings. He took the mockings. He faced it all knowing that many would reject Him. Knowing that many would claim Him. Still not live for Him. But He went anyway.
Right.
Somebody told you, they said, well, Brother James, I want you to lay your life down as a sacrifice now. And if you do this, there's about 25% of the people in America, or 25% of the people in Orange County that'll be convinced that you are really somebody, and they'll sell out to God, and they'll get saved. You say, 25%? If I say, well, now, 50%. We said 75%. I'm talking about what I'd say. I said 75%. How about 99.5? How about can we shoot for 100? Then I might think about it.
Right.
Amen? But Jesus knew. You say, you mean God, the Son, would give His life knowing that everybody wasn't going to get saved? He did.
Right.
You say, you mean He would give His life knowing that a lot of people was going to make a profession of faith, but yet never really lived for Him and never really served Him? He did.
Amen.
He did. You mean that He'd give His life for the church knowing that people would try to destroy the church and people that even professed to be Christian would try to destroy the church? He did. You know why He did that? Because He cares.
Right.
He cares. Amen. I'm glad He cares. He cared enough that when you and I are in a tight spot, He'll be there. Amen. When all your family and friends may forsake you, but praise God and live forever, He still cares. He'll be there. Amen. Hey, it's been plenty of time. Ain't been nobody for me, but me and Diane and God. I'm just going to tell you. Hey, there's times our families forsook us. There's part of our families that forsook us now. I mean, they want you. They love me when they got to have a funeral done. They love me when somebody's in intensive care. They love me when somebody wants to get married. They love me when something's going wrong. But as soon as the storm is passed, good to see you. Wouldn't want to be there. I need y'all. Amen. Hey, no doubt, honey. No doubt. They left your mama's funeral and said, I can't believe that he'd give an invitation at my granny's funeral. I can't believe it. What? He is so one way about everything. One way. His way. Amen. I knew I wouldn't get a chance to speak to them heathens no more again. I tell you what, I'm glad, thank God, when God opens the door, hey, He cared enough to be with me. I'm going to care enough to stick with Him. Amen. He cares. He cares enough to when you find yourself depressed. That word depressed means to be pushed up in a small place. Amen. You find yourself in a tight spot. He's in there. Amen. He's already in there.
people lose their mind preaching they have to go to mental hospital? He's already in there. You mean Jesus in the mental hospital? He's in there.
Right.
I've seen people go to jail. He's already in there. I'm glad I serve a God who's everywhere. Amen. Hey, don't believe that, don't you?
Amen.
He's everywhere.
Amen. Right.
He's helping everybody. He's everywhere. If you need help, he'll help you. Amen. He'll bail you out when your family turns their back on you. Amen.
Right.
Believe that? He'll get you out of the darkness of night. Amen. Back into the light of joy and blessings. He'll help you get out of that depression. Amen. He's already in there. He cared enough that when your stuff runs out, he'll still be there. Don't ever have your stuff run out. He'll still be there. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, when all your good times and buddies leave you high and dry, when you ain't got nothing but a pile of nothing, amen, he still cares. You got some people, they only love you when you got something. Don't know any friends like that? Oh, you got a little money, they'll love you then. Oh, you got gas in your car, they love you. Amen. Oh, you got food in your house, they love you. Amen. As long as your cable's still hooked up, they love you. Amen. Don't hang on me a little bit. I know how people are. You got all kinds of friends. You won't find out how many friends you got built a swimming pool. I ain't got one, but I heard all about it. Every one of your neighbors that hate your guts, all they hear is all of a sudden they think you're the best neighbor ever.
Right.
They love you now. Oh, our children have always wanted to play with your children. My husband and I have always looked up to the way you and your wife raise your children. No, you ain't. You've been laying over there in the bed on Sunday morning, cursing and turning on. I don't even remember what was going to church. But now we got two of them. We got all kinds of things. Come on, man. Y'all know people like that, don't you? That's like Brian said. I'll say it to Brian. I don't care if I say this. Probably, I don't know if he does. He'll get over it. He's young. But he said, never would own a pickup truck. He said, if you got a pickup truck, he said, everybody wants you to have them when they get ready to move. Isn't that right, though? Amen. I got a trailer. I got a little trailer there. That's what we use it for, to move people's junk around. And I said, go ahead, get it. Just don't tear it up. Help yourself. The left tire really goes down. You got to fuck it up every time you stop. But it's good. Help yourself. Well, I got to move to Greensburg. Help yourself. Go put two new tires on. I ain't going to buy no new tires. I said, well, that ain't road worthy to go to Greensburg. One day I'm going to get somebody to bite on that deal. I don't know when it'll be. I believe God's got somebody out there that'll bite on that deal sooner or later. I'm going to keep trying it and see what happens. Amen. He cared enough. He cared enough not to leave us comfortless. He went away, but guess what he did? He got his daddy to send another one.
Yep.
He said, I got to go away. He said, but I'm going to pray to the Father. In other words, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send another one. By the way, he already knew about that too, honey. He wasn't wondering. I wonder when I get up there, is daddy going to suck out? Because this crowd of three done been in on this thing from the beginning anyway. Amen? Y'all with me now?
Amen.
He said the Holy Spirit. He sent the Comforter. Amen. I'm glad he did. He cared enough. When you go down to the graveyard, you won't have to go alone.
Amen.
Amen. When you have to go through that time of sickness and you don't know what to do, which way to turn, there's a Savior in heaven who cares. Amen. When Mary and Martha buried their brother, they had sent for Jesus. And when he got sick, they sent for Jesus right away. But when he got there, the funeral is all finished and the family's all gone. And all the funeral homes done collected up all the chairs. And they done put the little book together and everything. And all the flowers have been placed around his sepulcher. Amen. I'm glad Jesus was still right on time. You know why he cared. Amen. One of them sisters said, oh, no, we can't move that rock. He's sure that he stinks by now. Amen. I'm glad when you get to stinking, Jesus Christ still cares. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad when everything you've got done died and done deteriorated, the maggots have got in it. God said, I care enough. I'm going to help you anyway. Amen. Right?
Amen.
He cares about you. Have you ever prayed for healing, but healing didn't come? He cared about you enough. He had something better than mine. Amen. My wife, when she got sick, And we still, it had to be God. But she kept saying, telling people, she said, I'm a winner either way. Now, I knew that was a song, but she didn't win. She said, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way. And we was in a camp meeting one time, and they got up and sung, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. And her eyes got about that big. She said, that's ain't my song. She goes, but see, I'm glad I'm a winner either way. Amen. I like what my dad said. Some of y'all heard me give his testimony. I won't tell the whole story again. But when I told him, I said, Daddy, I said, you know, you're losing blood fast by the face. They put it in you. They'll keep doing this. I said, but do you really think this is fair? I said, somebody's child may be in an automobile accident.
let's go through this one. And I told him, I said, the doctor said, you're going to just go to sleep, Dad. You're going to get weak. You're going to go to sleep. And said, you'll have a heart attack. That's actually what will probably take you out. But you'll never know. Got this big grin on his face. Without his teeth, which he never wore. I really don't know why we buried him in him, because he never wore it. I should have hung on to him. I might be using it. They think I'm kidding over there. But my daddy got this big grin on his face. He said, so I'll go to sleep here and wake up over yonder. I said, yes, sir. That's very much sums it up. He said, sound like a good idea to me. I can say that. Because somebody cared. Somebody sent Mark to do that emergency room that day. And I ain't talking about the doctor. I'm talking about the great physician. We prayed. I really didn't pray for healing of my dad. I prayed for grace. I prayed for grace. I didn't pray God to raise up my mom-in-law. I prayed for grace. Grace gets through this. Grace helps the family. Grace gets. Sometimes you just got to pray for God's grace. And when's the last time you said, God, I want your will to be done. Whatever your will is, I want to be. That's the way we're supposed to pray, by the way. We spend too much time praying God exactly what we want him to do instead of praying his will be done. Amen. He cared enough that one day he's going to leave heaven again just to come and get his children, get his bride. And we'll wake up to a true believer. Check out this place. He cares enough. Amen. He cares enough. He's going to allow us to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. He cares enough. And he cares enough to take his children to be with him in heaven forever. Amen.
Yes.
So the next time the old devil says he don't care, you tell him to talk to the hand because the head ain't listening. Amen. Now y'all don't act like y'all ain't never seen that before. You got teenagers? You turn your back on them sometimes. Y'all ain't never seen that, have you? Y'all better start turning around. When you think they started walking away, turn. Yeah. Tell old devil that. See how that works for him. They talk to the hand, man. The head ain't listening. I know he cares. I know he cares. I know he cares. Hey, he cares for my wife, that cat. He cares for my daddy dad. He cares for my mama dad. He cares for y'all both of them. He'd care when I stood here and I'm done funeral people. He'd care when I stood here and preached to an empty church. He'd care when I stood here and preached to a full church. He'd care when I stood here and I knelt around this altar and helped people lead to the Lord. He cared. He cared. He cared. He still cared.
Yes,
he does. Amen. That was an introduction to the nation real quick. I said, I was going to be short this morning, didn't I? Well, he cares so much. Let me give you just a few things. God gave me this during Sunday school. He cares so much. He cares so much that he counsels me. Holy Spirit leads, guides, directs, right? That's the job of the third person of God. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, directs. He's the traffic cop of your life, we'll say. Been riding along, and for some reason the traffic signals were out, or maybe an automobile accident, and I used to holler at people when I was directing traffic, say, I am the light, look at me, I am the light, look at me. They'd be sitting there waiting for the light to change, and there's nothing to do that. I said, I am the light, look at me. By the way, that's what a Christian ought to be telling the world. I am the light, look at me! I am the light, look at me!
Right.
That's what the Holy Spirit does with our lives. He's a traffic cop, and he says, ooh, no, don't go there. Don't stop, don't go there. It's danger ahead. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Now you have soul liberty. You have a will. You can do what you want to do, can't you? You can keep going if you want to. What you do when the arms come down to train crossing that. If you're in the middle of them, you just get out your way. But if you on the side where the railroad track ain't, don't be ignorant enough to drive around it.
Amen.
That's a good way to get killed.
That's
why our brother were killed
you dead. What we say about our brother, killed you dead. I don't know how you can get killed dead, but killed you dead.
Y'all didn't get that either. Y'all were running real slow this morning. He counsels me. He counsels me. I tell you what else he does. He consoles me in my time of despair. He consoles me in my time of despair. You know why he does that? Because he
cares. I tell you what, I've been to the funeral home with people when they made arrangements. I've been through all of that, and I try to help people prepare for that. My wife especially spent the last 3 or 4 weeks of her mom's life preparing her sister for what to expect. What do we expect as death comes near? What do we expect when death finally comes? What do we expect when you go to the funeral home? These are the questions they're going to ask. And then I went there, her mother was very near death. And my wife, bless her heart, I thank God for a wife that's got some confidence in her husband. And I'm her pastor, too. You know what she said? She said, look, she had a list. She said, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And I told her some things that they hadn't thought about yet. And they worked on that. But how can you do all that in a time when everything seems like falling apart? Because he cared enough, honey. He was consoling us even before we needed consolation. Amen. I'm glad God prepared us, ain't you?
Amen.
I'm glad God prepared us. Consoles me. He corrects me. He cares enough to correct us. Just like you care enough for your children and your grandchildren to correct them. Amen. You wouldn't let your children walk out in the road intentionally, would you? Well, when they get run over, I guess they'll learn a lesson. They won't do that no more. That's pretty ignorant, isn't it? That's like you said, well, I hope my young people get good and drunk so they'll know what alcohol does. How stupid can you be? Here, I want to try it. You're about 4 years old, and I want you to try this marijuana so you know what it tastes like. You won't ever mess with it no more. I know people that are this ignorant, trust me. You say, people are not that crazy, preacher. Well, you're sheltered. You're sheltered. I've seen it happen. I've not personally seen it happen, but I have put people in jail that literally took their daughters and let them watch pornographic movies so they could teach them allegedly about what to do. And I'm going to tell you what, that is sick, and that's demented, and that is sin out of hell. I'm glad that I got one that will help me. Amen. And he corrects me. But how does God correct us? He corrects us with his word. Amen. Amen. His word. The reading of it, the studying of it, the preaching of it. Amen. I like preaching. Amen. Oh, I heard some good preaching Friday night. It stirred me up. Amen. I like to get stirred up. I like to get fired up. I tell you what, even the singing got me fired up Friday night. I got to singing, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Boy, I tell you what, I think about that grace. He said he'd give us grace for grace. I'll tell you about God's grace. Thursday night, we were supposed to leave Friday. We were supposed to go Thursday. We were supposed to leave Thursday and go to Cleveland, Tennessee. Diane had a previous appointment that she got to take care of. And I'm the kind of person, if I'm going somewhere, I want to leave early in the morning. If I can't leave early in the morning, I'll probably just change my plans. Because her appointment was in the morning, so we couldn't leave early in the morning. I knew I had a 6.5-7-hour drive ahead. Cleveland, Tennessee is about 3 miles on the other side of the farthest point of the country, I believe. My appointment, if I can ever get there. She was right about what she told me, too. I sent all the details. But anyway, we couldn't go. We couldn't leave. And then the weatherman was calling for the weather. I said, I'll tell you what. And I called the preacher that had invited us. I said, he called me and said, what you going to do, preacher? I said, well, I got to wait to see what the weather's going to do. And I said, if I don't come, I'll call you in the morning early. But you know, I'm not coming. I said, if you don't hear from me, I'll be there. And he said, what time do you plan on getting there? I said, well, I'm going to plan on leaving my house about 6 o'clock in the morning. So look for me right around lunch real time. And then we got it. Man, it sleeted so hard at our house Thursday, Friday morning between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. It woke me and her up. Anyway, we got up that morning. You know, they're talking on the news about the roads were clear and all that. And we got in, we went, and we had a great time. But all the way up there, you know, I didn't sleep a wink. I just had all the other things, and I just couldn't sleep. You say, oh, he's excited. No, I just couldn't sleep. There ain't no real reason why I don't sleep. I just don't sleep. You know, some people say, well, I was just so worried about something, I couldn't sleep. I had so much on my mind. I don't have so much on my mind. I can't sleep. I just can't sleep. What's on my mind is I want to go to sleep. If I go to bed, that's what I'm thinking about. I want to go to sleep. I ain't thinking about work. I ain't thinking about college homework. I ain't thinking about homework I ain't graded yet. I ain't thinking about none of that stuff. When I lay down in bed, I'm thinking about I'm ready to go to sleep. But I just didn't sleep. I got up that morning and I said, are you going to think you're going to drive such a long trip?
guidance all through all that fog and rain and sleet and all that. He guided through all that stuff. He guided through all that stuff. Amen. The boy was good at heaven. And let me tell you this, he curtails. He loves so much, he curtails us sometimes. In other words, he stops me. He stops me when I need to be stopped in spite of myself.
Amen.
You ever just, and then you say, just bust hell wide open, you're going to do it anyway. And then for some unknown reason, you just plain old get stopped. You know, sometimes God has to snatch us.
Amen.
And I know some of y'all have never been snatched. If you've ever been snatched, you know what it's like to be snatched. That's like the fellow that said, what's the difference between a paddling and a whooping? And we say, if you got to ask, then you definitely do not know.
Right.
If you ever been whooped, you've probably been snatched. So when you get stopped in your tracks, with a big hand. My grandpa was 6'9". He had a belt the size 734 because when he pulled out, you could hear it. It sounded like Indiana Jones boogie. But he would reach out and grab you. He'd grab his belt when you'd be able to hold. And he'd just pick you up. And you was in his mercy wherever he wanted you to go. That's where you go. It didn't matter where you were going. Wherever Paul wanted you to go, that's where you were going. And he'd pick you up and he'd just. But when he snatched you, I mean, you almost get a whiplash. It's like you stop you down in your tracks. Sometimes we're just so dead set on we're going to do something. And God tries everything he can. He sends that Holy Spirit traffic officer out there, stop, halt, danger ahead. And you speed through that one, then there'll be another one. And the Holy Spirit will have flares, or maybe something else, and you speed through that one. And then the Holy Spirit will throw a flashlight through your windshield like I did before on the BMW. And then you still go speeding right through that one. And then God loves you and cares about you so much that he'll snatch you at the last minute. And you wonder, I thought I had that thing all set up, and then they told me that they wasn't going to give me my loan. I don't understand that. Why did that happen, Diane? Why did that happen that we had picked out the one we wanted, everything was going fine, and they wouldn't give us our loan? He cared. Cares enough that he give me a cause. I see the cause that is set before me. Cause of Christ. Souls. Souls in danger of slipping off into hell without God. Saints that need to be restored, revived, and refreshed. David said when he got down to where his brothers were, is there not a cause? I'm glad that God cares so much. He gave me. Next time the old devil says, he don't care, tell him you're just a stinking liar. He cares, and he never stopped caring, and he's still going the extra mile. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The next verse says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Honestly say this, no, all joking around, we have a good time in the Lord's house. I was driving back from Tennessee yesterday, and I was thinking, I had about three different messages on my mind. I was going to preach this morning.